Simon Cadell and David Suchet in Righto, Jeeves, from the novel by P.G. Wodehouse. Adapted by Pat Hooker.
What ho, Jeeves!
Welcome home, sir.
If I may be permitted to say so.
You may, Jeeves, you may.
Did you find the south of France enjoyable, sir?
Very much so, Jeeves. Apart from Aunt Dahlia losing her shirt at Baccarat and Cousin Angela nearly getting inhaled by a shark while aquaplaning, a good time was had by all. Win anything at Ascot?
Quite a satisfactory sum, thank you, sir.
Your drink, sir. Thanks. Well, Jeeves, what news on the Rialto?
Mr. Finknottle, sir, has been a frequent caller.
Mr. Finknottle?
Yes, sir.
You don't mean Mr. Finknottle?
Yes, sir.
But Mr. Finknottle's not in London?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm blurry. Are you sure? I mean, you got the name correctly. Finknottle.
Yes, sir.
Where's the most extraordinary thing? It must be 5 years since he was in London. He always stays glued to the country, completely surrounded by newts.
Sir?
Newts, Jeeves. Mr. Finknottle has a strong newt complex. You must have heard of newts. You know, those little sort of lizard things charge about in ponds.
Oh, yes, sir. The aquatic members of the family Salamandridae, which constitute the genus Mulgae.
Yes, that's right. I can't believe he's risen to the surface like this. The chap I know wears horn-rimmed spectacles and has a face like a fish. Now, how does that check up with your data?
The gentleman who came to the flat wore horn-rimmed spectacles, sir.
And looked like something on a slab?
Possibly there was a certain suggestion of the piskin, sir.
It must be Gussie. But what could have brought him up to London?
I am in a position to explain that, sir. Mr. Finknottle confided in me his motive in visiting the metropolis. He came because the young lady is here.
Young lady? You don't mean he's in love? Gussie Finknottle?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm dashed. Please, why come to me?
Mr. Finknottle did not call to see you, sir.
Now, pull yourself together, Jeeves. You just told me...
It was I with whom he was desirous of establishing communication, sir.
But you never even met him.
I had not had that pleasure until he called here, sir. But it appears that Mr. Sipperley recommended him to place his affairs in my hands.
So, you're acting for Gussie now, are you?
Yes, sir.
And now, what is Gussie's trouble?
Well, oddly enough, sir, precisely the same as that of Mr. Sipperley when I was enabled to be of assistance to him. No doubt you recall Mr. Sipperley's predicament, sir.
Oh, yes. I recall the Sipperley case. A marked coldness of feet, was there not? And Gussie, you say, is in the same position?
Yes, sir. Each time he endeavours to formulate a proposal of marriage, his courage fails him.
And yet if he wants this female to be his wife, he's got to say so. What? I mean, only civil to mention it.
Precisely, sir.
Well, you know, I suppose this was inevitable, Jeeves. Look at the life he's led. I don't suppose he's spoken to a gal for years. What a lesson it is to us, Jeeves. Not to shut ourselves up in country houses and stare into glass tanks. You can't be the dominant male if you do that sort of thing.
No, sir.
Now, what sort of girl is this girl, Gussie?
I have not met the young lady, sir. Mr. Finknottle speaks highly of her attractions.
Seemed to like her, did he?
Yes, sir.
Did he mention her name?
She is a Miss Bassett, sir. Miss Madeline Bassett.
Egad, Jeeves! It's a small world, isn't it? What?
The young lady is an acquaintance of yours.
She was staying at Cannes when we arrived, and she and Angela got pretty mated. Your news has relieved my mind, you.
Indeed, sir.
Oh, absolutely. You will agree with me that Gussie is not everybody's money.
There may be something in what you say, sir.
Cleopatra wouldn't have liked him?
Possibly not, sir.
And I doubt if he'd go any too well with, Tallulah Bankhead.
No, sir.
But when you tell me that the object of his affections is Miss Bassett, why then, Jeeves, hope begins to dawn a bit.
I am very pleased to hear that, sir. Shall I proceed with your unpacking now?
Oh, yes. Oh, Jeeves, yes. Yep, unpacking by all means. I say, Jeeves, you know all about women, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know how some girls seem to take the stuffing right out of you. And that's how it is with the Bassett. I don't want to wrong anybody, so I won't go so far as to say that she actually writes poetry, but, well, I mean to say, Jeeves, when a girl suddenly asks you out of the blue sky, if you don't sometimes feel that the stars are God's daisy chain, you begin to think a bit.
I take your point, sir.
Not my cup of tea at all, Jeeves. But then, Gussie is one of those dreamy, soulful birds himself. She's just the type for him.
I'm most gratified to hear it, sir.
And he's just the type for her. So strain every nerve, Jeeves.
Very good, sir. I will attend to the matter at once. In fact, it so happens that Mr. Finknottle...
Yes, Jeeves? Something on your mind, Jeeves?
I fear that you inadvertently left Cannes in the possession of a coat belonging to some other gentleman, sir.
Oh? What would that be, Jeeves?
This garment, sir.
The white mess jacket?
Yes, sir.
No, Jeeves. The object under advisement is mine. I bought it out there.
You wore it, sir?
Every night.
But surely you are not proposing to wear it in England, sir?
Yes, Jeeves.
But, sir, I...
You were saying, Jeeves?
It is quite unsuitable, sir.
I do not agree with you, Jeeves. I anticipate a great popular success for this jacket.
But, sir...
I wear this jacket, Jeeves.
Very good, sir.
Right-ho, Jeeves. See who that is, will you, Jeeves?
Mr. Finknottle, sir.
Is he?
Mr. Finknottle is en route to a fancy dress ball, sir.
Hello, Bertie.
Hello, Gussie. I hear you're in London. Have a spot?
No, thanks. I must be off in a minute. I just came round to ask Jeeves how he thought I looked. How do you think I look, Jeeves?
Very striking, sir.
You don't think the scarlet tights are a bit...
The whole ensemble is very spectacular, sir.
You really think so?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Well, be that as it may, will you see if my taxi's still here, Jeeves?
Very good, sir.
How do you think I look, Bertie?
I've been hearing all about you, Gussie, old leather.
Eh?
This little trouble of yours. Jeeves has told me everything. And I would like to begin by saying that Madeline Bassett is a charming girl. Just the sort for you.
You don't know her?
Well, certainly I know her. What beats me is how you ever got in touch. Where did you meet?
She was staying at a place near mine the week before last.
I didn't know you called on the neighbours.
I don't. I met her out for a walk with her dog. The dog had a thorn in its foot, and when she tried to take it out, it snapped at her, so of course I had to rally round.
You extracted the thorn?
Yes.
And fell in love at first sight?
Yes.
Well, dash it with a thing like that to give you a send-off. Why didn't you cash in immediately?
I haven't the nerve.
What happened?
We talked for a bit.
What about?
Oh, birds.
Birds? What birds?
The birds that happened to be hanging about, and the scenery, and all that sort of thing. And she said she was going to London and asked me to look her up if I was ever there.
And after that, you didn't so much as press her hand?
Of course not.
Ah. Well, we will see what can be done. Things may brighten. At any rate, you'll be glad to learn that I am behind you in this enterprise. You have Bertram Wooster in your corner, Gussie.
Thanks, old man. And Jeeves, of course, which is the thing that really matters.
And what is Jeeves doing about it?
It's on his advice that I'm going to this dance.
Why?
She's going to be there. And Jeeves considered...
And why not as a Pierrot? Why this break with a grand old tradition? Every English gentleman goes to fancy dress balls as a Pierrot.
He particularly wanted me to go as Mephistopheles.
Did he? He specifically recommended that definite costume?
Yes.
Ah.
What?
Nothing. Just... Ah. I mean, here he is, making all this heavy weather about me, wearing a perfectly ordinary white mess jacket in the same breath, inciting you to be a blot on the London landscape in scarlet...
Bertie, what are you talking about?
Nothing. Why? Why, Mephistopheles?
He said it's a matter of psychology. He thinks I might be emboldened in a striking costume like this. He wanted me to go as a pirate chief at first, but I objected to the boots.
Very wise. Are you emboldened, Gussie?
Well, to be absolutely accurate, Bertie, old man, no.
Gussie, take a friend's advice and don't go within a mile of this binge.
But it's my last chance of seeing her. She's off to stay with some people in the country tomorrow. Besides, you don't know.
Don't know what?
That this idea of Jesus won't work. I mean, colour does make a difference. Look at newts. During the courting season, the male newt is brilliantly coloured.
But you aren't a male newt. But if you were a male newt, Madeline wouldn't look at you. Not with the eye of love, I mean.
She would, if she were a female newt.
But she isn't a female newt.
Yes, but suppose that she was.
Well, if she was, you wouldn't be in love with her.
Yes, I would, if I were a male newt.
Cassie.
Mr. Finknottle's car, sir.
Oh, the cab. Oh, right, of course, yes, rather. Well, so long, Bertie.
Thanks, Jeeves.
Jeeves. Sir? May I speak frankly?
Certainly, sir.
Let me get this straight. If I follow your reasoning correctly, you think that stimulated by being upholstered in scarlet tights, Mr. Finknottle will vibrate his tail and generally let himself go with a whoop.
I am of the opinion that he will lose much of his normal diffidence, sir.
I don't agree with you, Jeeves.
No, sir?
No. In fact, not to put too fine a point upon it, I consider that of all the dashed, silly, drivelling ideas I ever heard in my puff, this is the most blithering and futile. To be quite candid, Jeeves, I have frequently noticed before now a tendency or disposition on your part to become... What's the word?
I could not say, sir.
Eloquent? No. Elusive? No, it's not elusive, it's on the tip of my tongue. Begins with an E. Means being a jolly sight too clever.
Elaborate, sir?
That's the exact word I was after. Too elaborate, Jeeves. That is what you are frequently prone to become. All that Gussie needs is the elder brotherly advice of a seasoned man of the world. So I suggest that from now on you leave this case to me.
Very good, sir.
Right ho, Jeeves.
Good morning, sir. Your tea.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Jeeves.
A telegram has arrived, sir.
Well, decant it for me, Jeeves, will you? You know, I never read anything till I've had a cup of tea.
Very good, sir. It appears to have been dispatched by your aunt, Mrs. Travers, at Brinkley Court, sir. It reads, quote, come at once, stop, Travers.
Oh, rummy.
Sir?
Well, you'd better send a reply.
In what form, sir?
Oh, well, ask her what she means. Perplexed, stop. Explain, stop. Bertie. Something on those lines.
From Mrs. Travers again, sir.
Yes, Jeeves?
I quote, sir. I mean, come at once, comma, you maddening half-wit, stop. What did you think I meant, query? Come at once or expect an answer, curse. First post tomorrow, stop. Love, stop. Travers.
You got a pencil and paper, Jeeves?
Yes, sir.
Send this off, then. When you say come, do you mean come to Brinkley Court? And when you say at once, do you mean at once? Fogged, at a loss, all the best, Bertie.
Very good, sir.
Climb upon my knees, sonny boy. Yes, Jeeves.
Another telegram from Mrs. Travers, sir. It reads, sir, quote, yes, comma, yes, comma, yes, comma, yes, comma, yes, comma, yes, comma, yes, stop. It doesn't matter whether you understand or not, you just come at once, stop, love, stop, Travers, unquote.
Jeeves, what do you make of it?
I think Mrs. Travers wishes you to come at once, sir.
You gather that too, do you?
Yes, sir.
Well, I certainly can't go at once. It's Pongo Twistleton's birthday party tonight.
Yes, sir.
At which my white mess jacket will burst upon the London scene.
Yes, sir.
You're wrong about that jacket, Jeeves, you know.
Well, these things are a matter of opinion, sir.
When I wore it at Cannes, beautiful women nudged one another and whispered, who is he?
The code at continental casinos is notoriously lax, sir.
It will be that as it may. I can't go to Brinkley Court or anywhere else yet a while. They'll send her off another one saying, expect me tomorrow fortnight, or words to some such effect.
Very good, sir.
And put out my white mess jacket. Climb up on my knees, sonny boy.
Is that my tea, Jeeves?
No, sir. It is Mrs. Travers.
Wake up, Bertie, you foul object. Get up and dress.
Get up and dress?
Your tea, sir.
What is this, Aunt Delia?
It looks to me like tea. But you know best, you're drinking it.
No, no, not the contents of this cup, all this. You're barging in and telling me to get up and dress.
I've barged in, as you call it, because my telegram seemed to produce no effect. And I told you to get up and dress because I want you to get up and dress. You're coming to Brinkley Court with me. I've got a job for you.
Job?
You'll enjoy it. Have you ever heard of Market Snodsbury Grammar School?
Never.
It's a grammar school at Market Snodsbury.
Thank you. I have divined as much.
How was I to know that a mind like yours would grasp it so quickly? All right, then. I'm one of the governors.
You mean one of the governesses?
I don't mean one of the governesses. Now, listen, ass. There was a board of governors at Eton, wasn't there? Well, so there is at Market Snodsbury, and I'm a member of it. And they left the arrangements for the summer prize-giving to me. Have you got that clear?
I follow you, yes. Yes, I see the point you were trying to make, certainly. But what's he got to do with me?
You're going to present the prizes.
Me?
You.
You don't mean me.
I mean you in person.
You're pulling my leg.
Nothing would induce me to touch your beastly leg. The vicar strained a fetlock and must scratch his nomination. Nobody would take it on. And then, suddenly, I thought of you.
I won't do it, and that's final.
You will, young Bertie, or never darken my doors again. And you know what that means. No more of Anatole's dinners for you.
Oh, no, I say, now dash it.
I thought that would rattle you.
But why do you want me? I mean, what am I? Ask yourself that.
I often have.
You have to have some terrific nib to give away prizes.
But Eton, yes. At Market Snodsbury, we'll be on so choosy. Anybody in spats impresses us.
Well, why don't you get Uncle Tom? He's got spats.
Betty, I will tell you why not. You remember me losing all that money at baccarat, at Cannes? Well, very shortly I shall have to break the news to Tom. If right after that I ask him to put on lavender gloves and a topper and distribute the prizes at Market Snodsbury Grammar School, there'll be a divorce in the family. No, my lad, you're for it.
No, but Aunt Dahlia, listen
to reason. Bertie, don't blink at me in that obscene way. Do you have the faintest conception of how perfectly loathsome you look? I suppose you were out on the tiles last night?
I attended a social function, yes.
Oh, well, it's only human to give you a day or two to recover. All right, then. I'll expect you on the 30th. At the latest.
But Aunt Dahlia...
Mr. Finknottle to see you, sir.
Jeeves, I had scarcely expected this of you. Is this a time for Fink or any other kind of Nottle?
But did you not give me to understand, sir, that you wish to see Mr. Finknottle to advise him on his affairs?
True. Yes. I don't suppose you'd find Sherlock Holmes refusing to see a client because he was at Dr. Watson's birthday party the night before?
Very probably not, sir.
All right, bung him in. But before doing so, bring me one of those pick-me-ups of yours.
I have one in readiness, sir.
Thank you, Jeeves. Ah, yeah. Oh, thank you, Jeeves. That touched the exact spot. Oh, what madness not to have had one before tackling Aunt Dahlia. Well, now, tell me of Gussie. How did he make out the fancy dress ball?
He did not arrive at the fancy dress ball, sir.
Jeeves, do not try me too high. We shot Gussie into a cab. He must have arrived.
No, sir. As I gather from Mr. Pinkmuffle, he entered the cab convinced in his mind that the entertainment to which he had been invited was to be held at number 17 Suffolk Square, whereas the actual rendezvous was number 71 Norfolk Terrace. On reaching number 17 Suffolk Square, Mr. Finknottle endeavoured to produce money to pay the fare.
But what stopped him?
The fact that he had no money, sir. He discovered that he had left it, together with his ticket of invitation, on the mantelpiece of his bedchamber in the house of his uncle where he was residing. Bidding the cabman to wait, accordingly he rang the doorbell, and when the butler appeared, requested him to pay the cab, as he was one of the guests invited to the dance. The butler then disclaimed all knowledge of a dance on the premises.
And declined to unbelt?
Yes, sir.
Upon which,
Mr. Finknottle directed the cabman to drive him back to his uncle's residence.
Oh, why wasn't that the happy ending?
Oh, I should have mentioned, sir, that Mr. Finknottle had also left his latchkey on the mantelpiece of his bedchamber.
He could have rung the bell?
He did ring the bell, sir, for some 15 minutes. At the expiration of that period, he recalled that he had given permission to the caretaker, the house was officially closed and all the staff on holiday, to visit his sailor son at Portsmouth.
Golly Jeeves.
Yes, sir. Mr. Finknottle appears to have realized at this point that his position as regards the cabman had become equivocal. The figures on the clock had already reached a substantial sum, and he was not in a position to meet his obligations.
Well, he could have explained?
You cannot explain to cabmen, sir. On endeavouring to do so, he found the fellow sceptical of his bona fides.
I should have legged it.
Oh, that is the policy which appears to have commended itself to Mr. Finknottle, sir.
What on earth did Gussie do after that? London late at night is no place for a man in scarlet tights. He invites comment.
Yes, sir. Eventually, after a trying night, Mr. Finknottle found his way to Mr. Sipperley's residence, where he was able to secure a change of costume in the morning.
I suppose you realize, Jeeves, that this is all your fault.
Sir?
It's no good saying, Sir Jeeves. You know it was. This would never have happened if you hadn't sent him to the dance. Nor if you'd let him wear a Pierrot costume. A Pierrot costume has pockets.
Yes, sir, but I confess I did not anticipate...
Always anticipate everything, Jeeves. Shoot Gussie in, and I'll see what I can do for him.
Well, Gussie, I hear you've been through it a bit, thanks to Jeeves.
It wasn't Jeeves' fault. I forgot my money and my latchkey.
And now you better forget Jeeves, for you will be interested to hear, Gussie, that he is no longer handling your little problem.
What?
You will be much better off without him. I suppose you came here this morning to seek his advice.
Of course I did.
On what point?
Madeline has gone to stay with these people in the country.
Well, you must go to this place too. Flock around her, like a poultice, elementary.
But I can't plant myself on a lot of perfect strangers.
Well, don't you know these people?
Of course I don't. I don't know anybody.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that their name is Travers, and it's a place called Brinkley Court down in Worcestershire.
Ha! Ah! Simple, you observe, Jeeves. Nothing elaborate.
No, sir.
Just nature's remedy.
Yes, sir.
What do you call it when two people of opposite sexes are bound together?
Is propinquity the word you wish, sir?
It is. It is. I stake everything on propinquity. Jeeves, in a week or so at Brinkley Court, after he and she have been helping themselves to sausages out of the same dish day after day, oh, golly, Jeeves.
Sir?
Now, here's an instance of how you have to think of everything. There must be none of that. Fatal. Wrong note entirely. What Gussie has to do is to create, in this girl's mind, the impression that he is pining away for love of her. This cannot be done by wolfing sausages.
No, sir.
So, send a telegram off immediately. Lay off the sausages, avoid the ham, Bertie.
Very good, sir.
And one-to-one Delia, telling her he's coming and to get out the fatted calf.
I shall attend to the matter immediately, sir.
Consider your conduct frozen limit, Stop. What do you mean, planting your loathsome friends on me, Query? Who is this spink bottle, Query? Love, Stop Travers.
Not bottle, Nottle. Regards, Bertie.
Cipher telegram received runs, quote, lay off the sausages, Stop. Avoid the ham, unquote. Wire key immediately. Think Nottle.
Also, kidneys. Cheerio, Bertie.
Expect you 30th. Bring spats, love Travers.
No, but dash it, listen. Get Fink Nottle distribute prizes. Tinkety-tonk, Bertie.
Well, all right. Consider you treacherous worm and contemptible spineless cowardy custard, but have booked Spink Bottle. Love, Travers.
You see, Jeeves? You comprehend the full depth of my extraordinary sagacity in sending Gussie to Brinkley Court?
Yes, sir. If I may say so, it was an extremely ingenious strategy, sir.
Thank you, Jeeves.
Not at all, sir. Another telegram has arrived, sir.
I have been saved from a job at which the soul shuddered. A prospect with... Lord! Jeeves!
Sir?
You know my cousin Angela?
Yes, sir.
You know young Tuppy Glossop?
Yes, sir.
They've broken off their engagement.
Decent of you to rally round, Bertie.
My place was by your side, Aunt Delia. It was a terrible shock. What was the row about?
Sharks?
Eh?
Or rather, one individual shark. The brood that went for the poor child when she was aquaplaning at Cannes. You remember Angela's shark?
Oh, of course I remember Angela's shark.
She was telling him the story last night. Her eyes shining and her little hands clasped in girlish excitement.
And?
He sat listening like a lump of dough. And when she'd finished, he took his cigarette holder out of his mouth and said, I expect it was only a floating log.
He didn't.
I mean, Angela has pride, sensibility, all the natural feelings of a good woman. She told him he was an ass and a fool and an idiot.
Who didn't the chump back down?
No, he did not. He argued. And one thing led to another until she was saying that if he didn't knock off starchy foods, he'd get as fat as a pig. And he was talking about this modern habit of girls putting makeup on their faces. And then there was a loud pop. And the air was full of mangled fragments of their engagement. Oh, I'm distracted about it. Thank goodness you've come, Bertie.
I felt you needed me, Aunt Delia.
Or rather, not you, of course, but Jeeves. If ever there was a moment when that lofty brain was needed, this is it.
I venture to take issue with you, Aunt Delia.
You take what?
Issue?
You do you?
I emphatically do. Jeeves is hopeless.
What?
Quite hopeless. He's lost his grip completely. And anyway, I resent this assumption, if assumption is the word I want, that Jeeves is the only fellow with brain. I object to the way everyone's...
Have you been buying something Jeeves doesn't approve of again?
Well, Tuppy, old man. How are you feeling, old man?
You've heard about this business, then, me and Angela.
I have indeed, Tuppy, old man. And I can't help feeling, if you don't mind me saying so, old man, that you might have behaved with a little more tact.
Tact? What about my side of the thing? You don't suppose I'd have exposed this dash shark for the flatfish it undoubtedly was? Angela, the little squirt, hadn't just been most offensive.
Offensive?
Purely on the strength of my having let fall some casual remark, simply by way of keeping the conversation going, to the effect that I wondered what Anatole was giving us for dinner. She said I was too material and always thinking of food. Material, my elbow. As a matter of fact, I'm particularly spiritual.
Quite.
I don't see any harm in wondering what Anatole was giving us for dinner, do you?
Of course not. A mere tribute to a peerless artist. All the same, it does seem a pity that the frail craft of love should come a stinker when a few manly words of contrition...
You're suggesting I should climb down?
It'd be the fine, big thing, old egg.
I wouldn't dream of climbing down. Remarks have been passed about my tummy, which it is impossible to overlook.
But tummy, Tuppy, I mean. Be fair. You once told her new hat made her look like a Pekingese.
It did make her look like a Pekingese. That wasn't vulgar abuse, it was sound, constructive criticism. Wantonly, to accuse a man of puffing when he goes up a flight of stairs is something very different.
It went that far, did it?
It did, indeed.
But you love her, don't you?
I'm not saying I don't love the little blighter. I love her passionately. But I'm not going to grovel. Fatal.
Tuppy, I've got it.
Hmm?
Don't eat any dinner tonight.
Hmm?
You can see how impressive that would be. She knows how devoted you are to food.
I'm not devoted to food.
No.
I'm not devoted to food at all.
Quite. All I meant was...
I am young and healthy and have a good appetite, but that's not the same as
no,
being...
Quite. All I meant was that when she sees you push away your dinner untasted, she'll realize that your heart is aching and will be the first to suggest blowing the all clear.
Push my dinner away?
Yes.
Push away a dinner cooked by Anatole?
Yes.
Push it away untasted?
Yes.
Untasted?
Yes.
All right.
You'll do it?
I will.
Oh, fine. And you can slip down tonight after everyone's in bed and raid the larder. I expect there's something cold there.
There is something cold there. A steak and kidney pie, one of Anatole's ripest. It's an excellent idea, Bertie. One of Jeeves' best.
You aren't suggesting that you think this scheme is Jeeves's?
Of course it is. You wouldn't have thought of a wheeze like that in a million years.
Come, Glossop. It is time we were dressing for dinner.
Hello, I saw. What are you made up as?
The jacket, you mean?
I do. You look like one of the chorus of male guests in a touring musical comedy.
You do not admire this jacket?
I do not.
You did at Cannes.
Well, this isn't Cannes.
But
dash it. Oh, never mind. Let it go. If you want to give my butler a laugh, what does it matter? What does anything matter now?
Tails up, Aunt Delia.
Tails up be blowed. I've just been listening to Tom.
Uncle Tom?
I wish there was something else you could call him. Every time you do it, I expect to see him turn black and start playing the banjo. Yes, Uncle Tom, if you must have it.
Have you asked him for that money yet?
No, I have not. He's just had a demand from the income tax people for an additional £58, one and threepence, and all he can talk about is ruin and the sinister trend of socialist legislation and what will become of us all.
Eat less meat.
Oh, must you dribble, Bertie? Won't you stop it? Just this once, just for tonight, just to please Aunt Dahlia.
No. Listen. What I mean is, refuse your oaths tonight. Wave a wage course with a weary gesture. Uncle Tom will notice your loss of appetite, and he'll come up to you and say, Dahlia, darling, I take it he calls you Dahlia, yes? Dahlia, darling, he'll say, is anything the matter, Dahlia, darling? Why, yes, Tom, darling, your reply. The fact is, darling, I'm terribly worried. My darling, he will say.
Pretty soppy couple of blighters, these Travers. When are you getting to the point?
This is the point, Aunt Dahlia. My darling, he will say, tenderly, is there anything I can do? To which you reply that there jolly well is, viz., reach for his checkbook and start writing.
But, Bertie, this is positively bright. Do you know, I believe it'll work.
It's bound to work. I've recommended it to Tuppy in order to soften Angela.
Splendid!
And to Gussie Finknottle, who wants to make a hit with the Bassett.
Well, 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 what a busy little brain it is.
Always working, Aunt Dahlia, always working.
Yes, Bertie, this scheme is bright. I suppose Jeeves suggested it.
Well, Gussie. You and your well, Gussie. I like your nerve bounding about the place saying, well, Gussie. That damn prize-giving.
But, my dear chap, can't you see what this is going to do for you? There you'll be, up on that platform. The what do you call it, of all eyes? Madeline Bassett will see you in a totally new light.
She will she?
Certainly she will. Augustus Finknottle, the newt's friend, she knows. She is acquainted with Augustus Finknottle, the dog's chiropodist. But Augustus Finknottle, the orator, that'll knock her sideways. Girls go potty over a public man.
Yes, well, it may be all right. But I haven't been able to sleep or eat or... By the way, you never explained that cipher telegram about the sausages.
It wasn't a cipher telegram. I wanted you to go light on the food so she would realize you were in love.
I see. Well, I've been doing that all right.
Yes, I was noticing at dinner. Splendid.
I don't see what's splendid about it. It isn't going to get me anywhere. Have you seen her sideways, Bertie? A cold, pure profile. I catch sight of it and the words freeze on my lips.
She must be softened up.
Be what?
Softened up. Sweetened, worked on. Preliminary spade work put in. Gussie, I shall now lug this Bassett out for a stroll. I shall speak of hearts that yearn. I shall pitch it strong. Then you come along and carry on from there. It'll be like leaping onto a moving bus.
By Jove, Bertie, that's a terrific idea. We'll make all the difference.
Quite. But after that, it'll be up to you.
What dickens shall I say?
Oh, dash it, there are hundreds of things you can say. We'll talk about the sunset. Half the married men you meet started by talking about the sunset.
But what can I say about the sunset?
Well, Jeeves got off a good one the other day. I met him airing the dog in the park one evening, and he said, now fades the glimmering landscape on the sight, sir, and all the air a solemn stillness holds. You might use that.
What sort of landscape?
Glimmering. G for gastritis. L for lizard.
Oh, glimmering. Yes, that's not bad. Yes, I call that pretty good.
You could say, then, that you have often thought that the stars are God's daisy chain.
I haven't.
No, but she has. Hand her that one, and she'll think you're a twin soul. And then you speak of the day she came into your life.
Like a fairy princess.
Absolutely. Like a fairy princess. Nice work, Gussie. And then you snap into it, and you better have a couple of quick ones first.
Drinks, you mean? But I don't drink. I've never touched a drop in my life.
Oh, well, you'll have to make out as best you can on ginger pop.
I always drink orange juice.
Orange juice, then. Now, glimmering landscape.
Stars, God's daisy chain.
Twilight makes you feel sad.
Because my lonely life.
Describe life.
Talk about day I met her.
Add fairy princess gag. Say there's something you want to say to her. Heave a couple of sighs. Grab her hand and give her the works. Right. About 10 minutes from now.
Oh, look.
What?
Look, Mr. Worcester. That sweet little star up there all by itself. Wonder if it feels lonely.
Oh, I shouldn't think so. Miss Bassett, there is something...
A fairy must have been crying.
Hey?
Don't you remember? Every time a fairy sheds a tear, a wee bit star is born in the Milky Way. Have you ever thought about that, Mr. Worcester?
I can't say that I have, no. Talking of shedding tears...
Oh, look, the little bunnies.
Talking of shedding tears...
Oh, don't you love this time of the evening, Mr. Worcester? When the sun has gone to bed and all the bunnies come out to have their little suppers. When I was a child, I used to think that rabbits were gnomes. And if I held my breath and stayed quite still, I should see the Fairy Queen.
Quite. But talking of shedding tears, it may interest you to know that there is an aching heart in Brinkley Court.
Ah, yes. Life is very sad, isn't it?
It is for some people, yes. This aching heart...
Oh, those wistful eyes of hers, drenched irises. And they used to dance like elves of delight.
I'm not talking about Angela.
But her heart is aching.
I know it's aching, but so is somebody else's.
Mr. Glossop's, you mean?
No, I don't.
Mrs. Travers?
No, not Aunt Dahlia's either. This heart I'm talking about is aching for a different reason altogether. I mean to say... Oh, dash it, you know why hearts ache.
You mean for love?
Absolutely.
Oh, Mr. Worcester.
For you, I mean.
Oh, please don't say any more, Mr. Worcester. I understand.
Good.
Yes. I won't be so silly as to pretend not to know what you mean. I suspected this at Cannes when you used to stand and stare at me without speaking a word, but with, oh, whole volumes in your eyes.
What?
Oh, yes, Mr. Worcester. A girl always knows. And now you stammer out those halting words. No, this does not come... Mr. Worcester, are you ill?
No. Not ill. Just... not ill, no.
No, it does not come as a surprise. But I'm sorry, Mr. Worcester. I'm afraid it's impossible. Impossible.
What?
I said it is impossible.
Oh, right.
I'm sorry.
Quite all right.
Sorrier than I can say.
Don't give it another thought.
We can still be friends.
You're rather.
Then shall we just say no more about it? Keep what has happened as a tender little secret between ourselves.
Absolutely.
Like something lovely and fragrant laid away in lavender.
In lavender, right.
I wish I could.
Could?
Feel towards you as you would like me to feel.
Oh, ha, ooh.
But I can't. I'm sorry.
Absolutely okay. Fault on both sides, no doubt.
Because I am fond of you, Mr... No. I think I must call you Bertie. May I?
Oh, rather.
Because we are real friends.
Quite.
We have this common memory. And if things were different, I wonder... Well, you have a right to know. I don't want you to think... Life is such a muddle, isn't it?
You're in love with some other bloke?
Yes.
Engaged? What?
No, not engaged. I'm afraid he doesn't care for me in that way. At least he has said nothing. Oh, it's a silly little story. I was staying with some friends in the country, and I'd gone for a walk with my dog. The poor wee mite got a nasty thorn in his little foot, and I didn't know what to do. And then suddenly this man came along.
Oh, wow.
I beg your pardon?
Nothing. Just remembered there's a letter I have to write tonight. Oh, here comes Gussie Fingnottle. He'll look after you. Well, Tuppy, has Angela come clustering round you?
She has not.
Very odd. She must have noticed your supreme sacrifice at dinner. Why, when you refused those nonnet de poulet Agnes Sorrel, even Sepping's reeled back and nearly dropped the platter. And the Sepp a la Rossini...
Oh, will you stop it, Bertie? Do you think I'm made of marble? I can't stand it.
Be brave, Tuppy. Fix your thoughts on that cold steak and kidney pie. As the good book says, it can't...
Clark, I was frank and candid about her shark. She wanted to get rid of me and grab at the first excuse. Well, you can take this as official. If ever I find this slimy, slithery snake in the grass, I propose to take him by his beastly neck, shake him till he froths, and pull him inside out and make him swallow himself. And you can tell him that with my compliments.
Where's Angela?
Gone to bed.
Already?
She said she had a headache. What do you want her for?
Oh, I thought she might like a stroll and a chat.
Are you going for a stroll? Where?
Oh, hither and thither.
Then I wonder if you'd mind doing something for me. It won't take you long. You know that path that runs past the greenhouses into the kitchen garden?
Hmm?
Now, if you go along it, well, you come to a pond. Well, will you get a good stout piece of rope and go down that path till you come to the pond?
To the pond, right.
And find a nice heavy stone or a fairly large brick would do.
I see. Stone or brick. And then?
And then I want you, like a good boy, to fasten the rope to the brick and tie it round your damned neck and jump into the pond and drown yourself.
And drown my Aunt Dahlia.
Who was the ass? Who was the chump? Who was the dithering idiot who talked me into going without my dinner? I might have guessed.
It's all right, Aunt Dahlia. I know just how you're feeling. A bit on the hollow side, what? But it will pass, and pretty soon Uncle Tom will be along full of sympathy.
Will he? Do you know where he is now? He's in the study with his face buried in his hands, muttering about civilization and melting pots.
Hey? Why?
Because it has just been my painful duty to inform him that Anatole has given notice.
What?
What did you expect a sensitive, temperamental French chef to do if every course comes winging its way back to his kitchen untouched?
Jeeves, what is that appalling noise?
It is Mr. Finknottle, sir.
Singing?
Groaning, sir.
Gussie.
Goodbye, Bertie.
You mean hello. Don't you?
No, I don't. I mean goodbye. I'm off.
Off where?
To drown myself.
Oh, don't be an ass.
Am I an ass, Jeeves?
Possibly a little injudicious, sir.
You think, on the whole, not drown myself?
I should not advocate it, sir.
Very well, Jeeves, I accept your ruling. After all, it would be very unpleasant for Mrs. Travers to find a swollen body floating in our pond.
Yes, sir.
And she has been very kind to me. And you've been very kind to me, Jeeves.
Thank you, sir.
So have you, Bertie. Very kind. Everybody's been very kind to me. Very, very kind. All right, I'll go for a walk instead.
Jeeves, what the dickens is all this?
Mr. Finknottle has passed through a trying experience, sir.
I left him out here with Miss Bassett.
Yes, sir.
Well, Jeeves, I'm blithered if I can understand this. I mean, I know marriage is a serious business, but to take it on the chin so soon...
Well, I regret to say, sir, that there was a slight hitch.
You mean something went wrong?
Yes, sir.
But how could it? She loves him, Jeeves.
Indeed, sir.
Indisputably. I mean, that dog of hers isn't a pincushion.
Sir?
Nothing. All he had to do was to propose.
Yes, sir.
But didn't he?
No, sir.
Then what the dickens did he talk about?
Newts, sir.
Newts?
Yes, sir.
But why did he want to talk about newts?
He did not want to talk about newts, sir. Mr. Finknottle was the victim of a sudden, unfortunate spasm of nervousness. He was just observing that newts differ from salamanders in the shape of the tail, which is compressed, and that a marked sexual dimorphism prevails in most species, when the young lady rose and said that she thought she would go back to the house.
And then...
She went, sir.
Bertie. Oh, I've been through hell.
Through where?
Hell.
Oh, hell. When?
Last night in the larder.
Oh, you went to the larder last night?
I did. So did Angela and your aunt, also your uncle.
You better splash and footnotes, Tuppy, old Sam. I had no idea the larder was such a social vortex.
Well, around about 1 a.m., that steak and kidney pie seemed to beckon me. You know how they beckon?
Oh, why?
I stole from my room and went downstairs. I got to the larder. I fished the pie out. I set it on the table. I found knife and fork. I collected salt, mustard, and pepper. There were some cold potatoes. I added those. And I was about to pitch in... when I hear a sound behind me. And there was your aunt at the door in a blue and yellow dressing gown.
Embarrassing. I suppose you didn't know where to look.
I looked at Angela.
She came in with my aunt?
No, with your uncle. He was wearing mauve pajamas and carrying a pistol. Have you ever seen your uncle in pajamas and a pistol?
Never.
You haven't missed much. He said he thought there must be burglars, as he'd heard noises.
Yes, I can follow the trend. Uncle Tom has a marked complex about burglars.
Go on. What sort of noises, said your aunt? Funny noises, said your uncle. Whereupon Angela, with a nasty, steely tinkle in her voice, a little buzzard, observed, I expect it was Mr. Glossop eating. And then she did give me a look. It was the sort of wondering, revolted look a very spiritual woman would give a fat man gulping soup. The sort of look that makes a fellow feel he's 46 around the waist. And still in that same unpleasant tone, she added, I ought to have told you, Father, that Mr. Glossop always likes to have a good meal 3 or 4 times during the night. He has the most amazing appetite. See, he has practically finished a large steak and kidney pie already, and you know what an enormous dinner he ate. That was what hurt Bertie. I hadn't so much as started on that pie. But that's woman all over.
Quite the eternal feminine.
You've no idea, she said, how Mr. Glossop loves food. He just lives for it. I think it's rather wonderful. Your aunt said it reminded her of a boa constrictor. Angela said, didn't she mean a python? And then they argued as to which of the two it was. Your uncle, meanwhile, poking around with that damned pistol. And the pie sitting there on the table and me unable to touch it.
Can't have been at all pleasant.
Presently, they decided that Angela was right, and it was a python I reminded them of. And then we all pushed off back to bed, Angela warning me not to take the stairs too quickly. She said it was the same with dogs when they became very fat and overfed. You had to see that they didn't hurry upstairs, as it made them puff and pant, and that was what was bad for their hearts. She asked your aunt if she remembered the late spaniel Ambrose, and your aunt said, poor old Ambrose, you couldn't keep him away from the garbage pail. And Angela said, exactly. So do please be careful, Mr. Glossop. And you tell me she loves me still?
Girlish banter?
What? Girlish banter be blowed. She's right off me. She's infatuated with this chap at Cannes, and now she can't stand the sight of me.
My dear Tuppy, if you'll forgive me saying so, you've got an idée fixe.
A what?
An idée fixe. One of those things fellows get. You keep talking about this chap at Cannes, and there never was a chap at Cannes, and I'll tell you why I'm so sure. It just so happens that during those 2 months on the Riviera, Angela and I were practically inseparable. If there had been somebody nosing round her, I'd have spotted you.
Oh, she was with you all the time at Cannes, was she?
Mm. I don't suppose she said 2 words to anybody else.
You must have enjoyed that.
Oh, rather. I've always been devoted to Angela.
Oh, yes?
When we were kids, she used to call me her little sweetheart.
She did?
Absolutely.
I see. I see. Breakfast!
Did you observe Mr. Glossop, Jeeves?
Yes, sir. It seemed to me that Mr. Glossop's face was sicklied o'er with a pale cast of thought, sir.
Quite. In fact, Jeeves, many people would say that things have now gone so far between these two lovers that nothing could now bridge the chasm.
Most disturbing, sir.
But they would be wrong, Jeeves.
You think so, sir?
Supposing you were strolling through the illimitable jungle, Jeeves, and happened to meet a tiger cub.
The contingency is a remote one, sir.
Well, never mind. Let us suppose it. Let us now suppose that you sloshed that tiger cub. And let us suppose further that word reached its mother that it was being put upon. What would you expect the attitude of the mother tigress to be?
I should anticipate a certain show of annoyance, sir.
Exactly. And from that, Jeeves, to falling into that tiger cub's arms and burying the dead past will be but a step.
Sir?
Well, Angela, old thing, alone at last.
Yes. What was that?
You, probably a weasel or something. Well, old thing, so those wedding bells will not ring out, what?
No.
If you want my opinion, I think that's a bit of goose for you, Angela, old girl. I pity the female who was linked for life to a bargee like Tuppy Glossop.
I always thought you were such good friends.
Friends? Absolutely not. A club acquaintance, and a mere one at that. And, of course, one was at school with the man. A grubby little brute he was.
I recollect. Uncouth, I suppose, is the word. I doubt if I've ever seen an uncouther kid than this Glossop. And he's just the same today. It's the old story. The boy is father of the man. Angela?
What?
Stop peering into those bushes and listen to what I'm saying to you.
What were you saying to me?
I was saying the boy is the father of the man.
What boy?
The boy Glossop.
He hasn't got a father.
I never said he had. I said he was the father of the boy, or rather, of the man.
What man?
The point I'm trying to make is that the boy, Glossop, is the father of the man, Glossop. In other words, each loathsome fault and blemish that led the boy, Glossop, to be frowned upon by his fellows is present in the man, Glossop, and causes him, I'm speaking now of the man, Glossop, to be a hissing and a byword.
Yes, you're quite right.
Eh?
It's so nice, Bertie, to talk to somebody who really takes a sensible view about this man, Glossop. Mother says he's a good chap, which is simply absurd. He's conceited and opinionated, and he smokes too much, and he eats too much, and he drinks too much. And I don't like the colour of his hair. Not that he'll have any hair in a year or two, because he's pretty thin on top already, and he's the last man who can afford to go bald. But I can't stop out here all day talking about men who haven't the sense to tell sharks from flatfish. I'm going in.
Angela, I don't think he quite.
Come out from behind that bench.
No thanks, old man. I like leaning on it. It seems to rest the spine.
In about 2 seconds, I'm going to kick your spine up to the top of your head.
I think I know what's on your mind.
Oh, Albert. Do you?
I dare say you heard what I was just saying.
I did.
No doubt you were a bit surprised.
Not a bit.
You were?
Do you think I don't know that you're in love with Angela yourself? That you stole her from me at Cannes?
What?
I'll get you in a minute. Oh, why have they these valley benches in gums?
Because you're wrong, Tubby. During that sojourn in Cannes, my affections were engaged elsewhere.
What?
Engaged elsewhere, my affections, during that sojourn.
Who was it?
My dear Tubby, does one bandy a woman's name?
Yeah, well, one does if one doesn't want one's bloody head pulled off.
Madeline Bassett.
You stand there and tell me you were in love with that Bassett disaster.
I wouldn't call her that Bassett disaster, Tuppy. Not respectful. A very charming and beautiful girl.
You deliberately assert that you loved that weird gourd helpers?
I must ask you to treat this as entirely confidential, Glossop, but it is not 12 hours since she turned me down.
Turned you down?
Like a bedspread in this very garden.
12 hours?
They call it 13.
I see. All right, then.
Bertie!
But I still... But...
If you see Mr. Glossop anywhere, Bertie, I wish you'd give him these sandwiches. I'm so afraid he may be hungry, poor fellow. It's nearly 11 o'clock, and he hasn't eaten a morsel since breakfast. I'll just leave him on this bench.
Yes, I'll toddle in with you, I think.
I'm so looking forward to the prize giving this afternoon, aren't you, Bertie, dear? I understand Mr. Finknottle is going to make a...
Sandwiches!
How still and peaceful everything is.
Ladies and gentlemen, I do not propose to detain us long, but on this auspicious occasion... No, that's no good. Ladies and gentlemen, on this auspicious occasion, I feel compelled to say...
Ah, Gussie, lovely morning, is it not?
Ladies and gentlemen, damn your lovely morning.
I've got good news for you, Gussie.
Has Market Snodsbury Grammar School burned down? Have mumps broken out? Is the place closed on account of measles?
Well, not that I know of.
What do you mean you've got good news?
You mustn't take this prize-giving so hard, Gussie.
Hard? Do you realize I've been sweating for days and I haven't been able to think of a thing to say yet? Except that I won't detain them long. You bet I won't detain them long. Bertie, I've a good mind to take your tip and have a drink.
Oh, you'll be all right.
I won't be all right. I can feel it in my bones. As sure as I'm standing here, something is going to happen this afternoon. Bertie.
Hello.
Do you remember that kid's school we went to before Eton?
Oh, quite. I won a scripture knowledge prize there.
Never mind about your scripture knowledge prize. I'm not talking about your scripture knowledge prize. Do you recollect the Bosher incident?
Oh, by golly, yes.
Major General Sir Wilfred Bosher came to distribute the prizes at that school. He dropped a book. He stooped to pick it up. And as he stooped, His trousers split up the back.
Oh, how we roared.
We did, little swine that we were. I loudest of any. That is what will happen to me this afternoon, Bertie. It will be a judgment on me.
No, Gussie, old man. Your trousers won't split.
How do you know they won't? Better men than I have split their trousers. General Bosher was a DSO with a fine record of service on the Northwest Frontier.
When I said I had good news, old man, I meant about Madeline Bassett.
You can't have good news about her. I've dished myself completely.
She loves you, Gussie. She told me so.
She may have loved me once. Last night will have killed all that. She despises me now.
She knows you simply got cold feet.
And I should get cold feet if I tried again. It's no good, Bertie. It's hopeless. Fate made me the sort of chap who can't say boo to a goose.
It isn't a question of saying boo to a goose. Point doesn't arise.
It's no good, Bertie. I can't do it. You've not been through the experience of starting to ask the girl you love to marry you and then suddenly find yourself talking about the plume-like external gills of the newly born newt. It's not a thing you can do twice. No, I accept my destiny. It's all over. And now, Bertie, like a good chap, shove off. Unless you have any good stories.
Yeah?
That I can work into my speech.
Oh. do you know the one about...
No, thanks. I don't want any of your off-colour stuff from the drone smoking room. I need something clean. Something that will be a help to them in their afterlives. Not that I care a damn about their afterlives, except that I hope they'll all choke.
Oh, I heard one the other day. It was about a chap who snored and disturbed the neighbours. And it ended, it was his adenoids that adenoid him.
You expect me to work that in, do you? To an audience of boys, every one of whom is probably riddled with adenoids. Leave me, Bertie, shove off. That's all I ask you to do. Shove off. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not propose to detain this auspicious occasion long, but on this auspicious occasion, I feel compelled.
Sir?
Yes, Chief?
I note that you are in possession of Mr. Finknuttle's orange juice, sir. In my opinion, it was injudicious to add spirit to it.
I don't follow you, Jeeves.
It is not always a simple matter to gauge the effect of alcohol on a subject unaccustomed to such stimulants, sir. I have known it to have distressing results in the case of parrots.
Parrots?
Yeah, I was thinking of an incident in my earlier life, sir. I was in the service...
But Gussie isn't a parrot.
No, sir, but I would...
It is high time, in my opinion, that this question of what young Gussie really is was threshed out and cleared up. Now, he seems to think he's a male newt, and you appear to suggest he is a parrot. The truth of the matter being that he's just a plain, ordinary poop and needs a snootful as badly as ever a man
did. What ho, Bertie! What ho, what ho, what ho! And again, what ho! What a beautiful world this is, Bertie. One of the nicest I've ever met.
Gussie, what...
I took your advice, old friend. I've been having a drink, as you advised. I could bite a tiger.
What did you have?
Whiskey. At least that was the label on the decanter, and I have no reason to suppose that a woman like your aunt, staunch, true blue, British, would deceive the public.
A whiskey and soda, eh? Well, you couldn't have done better.
Soda? I knew there was something I'd forgotten.
Didn't you put any soda in it?
Never occurred to me. I just nipped into the dining room and drank out of the decanter.
How much?
Oh, about 10 swallows. 12, maybe, or 14, say. 16 medium-sized gulps. Gosh, I'm thirsty.
But there's nothing to drink in here?
Well, I'll just have to go back to the dining room, then. That's what it comes to. Did I say I could bite a tiger?
You did.
Make it two tigers. Why I was feeling nervous earlier, I can't imagine. I was feeling a little nervous, but now I feel fine, Bertie. Fine. And I say this to you as an old friend, Bertie, because that's what you are, old man. An old friend. I don't think I've ever met an old friend. How long have you been an old friend of mine, Bertie?
Oh, years and years.
Imagine. Though, of course, there must have been a time when you were a new friend. Hello, the luncheon gong. Come on, old friend, race you down the banisters. What ho!
Good afternoon, sir. Did you have a pleasant luncheon?
There is C3 Jeeves. That kitchen maid is no substitute for Anatole. Have you seen Mr. Finknottle this afternoon?
Yes, sir. He was seated here when I returned. He left only a few moments ago.
How did he seem?
Oh, he was laughing heartily, sir.
But we must never forget that these things cut both ways, Jeeves.
You imply, sir?
Precisely. I am thinking of him in his capacity of wooer.
Have you ever seen James Cagney in the movies?
Yes, sir.
Something on those lines.
Then you have not heard, sir.
Eh?
That a marriage has been arranged and will shortly take place between Mr. Finknuttle and Miss Bassett?
What?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, 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 Jeeves. This is splendid news.
Yes, sir.
You see how right I was?
Yes, sir.
It must have been rather an eye-opener for you, watching me handle this case.
Yes, sir.
The simple, direct method never fails.
No, sir.
Whereas the elaborate does.
Yes, sir.
Right-ho, Jeeves. I must say it's lucky he didn't get to that laced orange juice on top of all that whiskey, eh?
Yes, sir. It was a most prudent act on your part, if I may say so, sir, to dispose of the orange juice.
What? Didn't you?
No, sir. I assumed when I entered the room and found the pitcher empty that you had done so.
Jeeves.
I very much fear, sir.
So do I, Jeeves. So do I. He was complaining of thirst. You found him in here laughing heartily with an empty jug, and in two shakes of a duck's tail, Gussie, with all that lapping against his back teeth, will be distributing prizes at the Market Snodsbury Grammar School before an audience of all that is fair and most refined in the county. What, in your opinion, will the harvest be?
I should be disposed to imagine, sir, that the ceremony might be one fraught with considerable interest.
You mean imagination boggles?
Yes, sir.
You're right, Jeeves. It boggles.
Oh, sorry. Have I missed much?
No, just the head starting on.
I'd be delighted, I know, to hear that G. Bullitt has been awarded the Lady Jane Wick Scholarship at the Birmingham College of Veterinary Science.
Where's Gussie?
Up on the platform at the end. I say, Bertie, what's the matter with him?
So, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the purpose of this afternoon's gathering, the prize giving. And today, we're all happy to welcome as our guest Mr. Fitzwattle, who has kindly...
Finknottle.
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 I should say Finknottle.
Of course you should, you sneer.
All right, get on with it.
We are all happy, as I say, to welcome Mr. Finknottle, who has kindly consented to award the prizes. We're all, I'm sure, very sorry that illness has prevented the Reverend William Plomer from being here today. But although deprived of Mr. Plomer, we have with us Mr. Finknottle, who, I'm sure, needs no introduction to you. It is a name that is familiar to us all.
Not to you.
You didn't seem to know it so dash well. What?
But he's as tight as an owl. Yes.
Boys! I mean, ladies and gentlemen and boys. I will not detain you long, but I propose on this occasion to feel compelled to say a few auspicious words. I'm sure we're all sorry that the Reverend, whatever he was called, should be dying of adenoid, but after all, here today, gone tomorrow, and all flesh is as grass and whatnot. But that wasn't what I meant to say. What I meant to say was, gentlemen, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, and of course boys, what a beautiful world this is. People who say it isn't a beautiful world don't know what they're talking about. I was reluctantly compelled to tick off my host on this very point this morning, old Tom Travers. You can see him sitting here in the second row next to the large lady in beige, the one with the red face. He expressed the opinion that the world was in a deplorable state. I said, "Don't talk rot, old Tom Travers." "I'm not accustomed to talk rot," he said. "Then for a beginner," I said, "you do it dashed well. And I think you will agree, boys and ladies and gentlemen, that that was telling it."
I say, Bertie, there's a sort of snap about his work, isn't there? I've never seen anything like it, not even in Barney Fungi Flips on New Year's Eve. Jeeves would say it has something to do with releasing inherent inhibitions. Inherent what?
If there's one thing I can't stand in the world, it's a pessimist. Be optimists, boys. You all know the difference. An optimist is a man who... Well, hello, Bertie. I didn't know you were here.
Oh, good Lord.
Now, there's an instance of what I mean. Boys and ladies and gentlemen, take a good look at that object standing up there at the back. You can't miss him.
Bertie Wooster, that is, and as far the pessimist has ever been a tiger. I tell you, I despise that man. And why do I despise him? Because, boys and ladies and gentlemen, he is a pessimist. His attitude is defeatist. When I told him I was going to address you this afternoon, he tried to dissuade me. And do you know why he tried to dissuade me? Because he said my trousers would split up the back.
I'm getting out of here.
No, wait, Bertie. I think the head's blown the whistle.
Let me tell you a story about Bertie Wooster.
Mr. Finknottle.
Eh?
Perhaps his time is getting on. We had better...
The prize is, eh? Oh, yes, righto. Yes, might as well be shoving off. What's this one?
Spelling and dictation, P.K. Purvis. For P.K. Purvis.
You P.K. Purvis?
It's a beautiful word, P.K. Purvis.
Yes, sir.
You married by any chance?
No, sir.
Get married, P.K. Purvis. It's the only life. Well, here's your book. Looks rather bilge to me, but such as it is, cocky, here you are.
G.G. Simmons, Scripture Knowledge Prize.
By Jove, one of us. What? Did I win a Scripture Knowledge Prize once?
Well, G.G. Simmons.
Sir, yes, sir.
What do you mean, sir, yes, sir, dash silly thing to say? So you won the Scripture Knowledge Prize, have you?
Sir, yes, sir.
Yes, you look just the sort of little tick who would. And yet, how are we to know that this has all been open and above board? Let me test you, G.G. Simmons. Who is this? What's his name? The chap who begat Thingamy. Can you answer me that, Simmons?
Sir, no, sir.
Fishy. Hey, fishy. This boy appears to be totally lacking in Scripture knowledge.
I can assure you, Mr. Figbottle, that every care was taken to ensure a correct marking.
Well, if you say so. All right, G.G. Simmons, take your prize.
Sir. Thank you, sir.
But let me tell you that there's nothing to stick on side about in winning a prize for Scripture Knowledge. Bertie Wooster won the Scripture Knowledge Prize at a kid's school, and you know what he's like. Of course, Bertie frankly cheated.
I'm off.
If that man's pockets, as he entered the examination room, were not stuffed to bursting point, was this in the King's of Beauty?
Goodbye, T. Jeeves. No, sir. It is nearly dinner time.
Oh, I must have been asleep.
Yes, sir.
Nature taking its toll of the exhausted frame. Well, I'm in no mood for dinner, but I suppose you'd better lay out the clothes.
It will not be necessary, sir. The company will not be dining tonight. A cold collation has been set out in the dining room.
Oh, why is that?
The domestic staff are attending a dance, sir, at Sir Percival Stretchley Budd's residence, Kingham Manor.
Yeah, I see. You going, Jeeves?
No, sir. I'm not very fond of this form of entertainment in the rural districts.
Yeah. Is Anatole?
No, sir. Monsieur Anatole is attending to his packing.
Ah. Well, Jeeves... It was certainly one of those afternoons.
What?
Yes, sir. But we must not forget that Gussie, though now doubtless looked upon in the neighborhood as the world's worst freak, is all right otherwise.
No, sir.
When you say no, sir, do you mean yes, sir?
No, sir. I mean no, sir.
He's not all right otherwise?
No, sir.
But he's betrothed.
No longer, sir. Miss Bassett has severed the engagement.
Bertie, do you remember what I swore I'd do to the chap who stole Angela?
But, Tuppy, I keep telling you nobody snitched Angela at camp.
No, but they did after she got back.
She hasn't seen anybody since she got back.
How about that mute bloke?
Mute bloke? Gussie?
Precisely, the serpent Finknottle.
But Gussie loves the Bassett.
You can't all love this blighted Bassett. What astonishes me is that anyone could do it. He loves Angela, I tell you, and she loves him.
It's absolutely absurd.
Oh?
Quite absurd.
Then perhaps you will explain how it is that she happens to be engaged to him.
Engaged him?
She told me herself.
There must be some mistake.
There was. The mistake Finknottle made it, and by now I bet he knows it. I've been chasing him for 2 hours. You haven't seen him by any chance?
No.
Well, when you do, say goodbye and put in your order for lilies.
Jeeves, does this make sense to you?
Oh, yes, sir. Gentlemen who have been discarded by one young lady are often apt to attach themselves without delay to another, sir. It is what is known as a gesture.
Defiant stuff, you mean? Sort of, oh, right ho, please yourself, but if you don't want me, there are plenty you do.
Precisely, sir.
Dash all gestures, Jeeves.
Yes, sir.
Now, we must save this unfortunate blighter. The first thing is to find him. Go forth, Jeeves, and scour the neighborhood.
It will not be necessary, sir. If you will glance behind you, you will observe Mr. Finknottle coming out from beneath your bed.
Ooh, Cassie.
Jeeves.
Sir?
Is that door locked, Jeeves?
No, sir, but I will attend to the matter immediately.
Because you can never tell when that ghastly Glossop may take it into his head to come...
Ah-ha! Finknottle!
No!
Tally-ho! Tally-ho!
I say, Bertie, this Finknottle...
Nottle.
Bottle.
After that exhibition this afternoon, Bottle and nothing but Bottle is how I shall always think of him. Tell me, Bertie, are you a pessimist?
What's happening in this house is rapidly making me one.
Pardon?
Nothing. No, I'm not.
Oh, that's right. Never be a pessimist. Ring out those joy bells, Bertie. Anatole has withdrawn his notice.
What? Oh, very hearty congratulations.
Yes, thanks. I worked on him like a beaver this evening, and now he stays on. Praises be. And the way I look at it is, God's in his heaven, and all's right with... Oh, hello, Seppings. I thought you'd left for the dance.
Not yet, madam.
Well, I hope you have a good time.
Thank you, madam.
Was there something you wanted to see me about?
Yes, madam. Mm-hmm. It is with reference to Monsieur Anatole. Is it by your wish, madam, that Mr. Fink Nottle is making faces at Monsieur Anatole through the skylight of his bedroom?
Faces?
Yes, madam.
Through the skylight?
Yes, madam.
You mean he's sitting on the roof?
Yes, madam. It has upset Monsieur Anatole very much.
Go away, you crazy loon!
I think, you know, he just wants to get in.
Well, he can't. Get away from there, Pink Bottle!
Yeah, but if he does, Aunt Delia, he'll fall down the side of the house and break his neck.
Well, why not?
But if you open the skylight, he could jump in.
Seppings, how does that skylight open?
With a pole, madam.
Then get a pole. Get 2 poles. 10 poles!
Everything pretty smooth now, I trust, Aunt Delia?
Attila. That's the name. Attila the Hun.
Hey?
I was trying to think who you remind me of. Somebody who went about strewing ruin and desolation. Attila's the man.
But Aunt Delia, what have I done?
What have you done? You sent me Spink Bottle to leer at Anatole through skylights till he won't hear of staying.
What?
Yes, Anatole goes tomorrow. And now Angela tells me she's engaged to this Bottle. If the prophet Job were to walk into this room now, I could sit swapping hard luck stories with him till bedtime. Not that Job was in my class.
He had boils.
Well, what are boils?
Dash painful, I understand.
Oh, Bertie, can't you realise? I've lost the best cook in England. And my only daughter is engaged to an inebriated newt fancier. And you talk to me about boils?
Well, I didn't absolutely talk about them. I merely mentioned
that
Excuse
you... me, sir. A note for Mr. Worcester, madam.
Oh.
Ah. With reference to yours of even date...
You got my note?
Yes, I got your note.
I gave it to Jeeves to give it to you.
Yes, he gave it to me. That's how I got it.
Oh.
Yes. I got it all right.
I see.
Yes, I got it. And I've just been reading it. And I wanted to ask you, well, what about it?
What about it?
That's what I say. What about it?
But it was quite clear.
Oh, quite. Perfectly clear. Very well expressed and all that. But, I mean, deeply sensible of the honour and so forth. But, well, dash it.
I think I know what you're trying to say. You're surprised.
Oh, absolutely.
And yet it is quite simple. Quite simple, really. I am going to devote the rest of my life to making you happy. But may I be quite frank with you, Bertie? I am fond of you. I will do my best to make you a good wife. But my affection for you can never be the flame-like passion I felt for Augustus.
Just the very point I was working round to. I mean, if you love old Gussie...
Oh, no longer.
Oh, come.
No. What happened this afternoon has killed my love. A smear of ugliness has been drawn across a thing of beauty.
But look, have you considered... Well, I mean to say, touch of the sun. What? Eh? Chaps do get touches of the sun, you know. Especially when the weather's hot.
It was like you to say that, Bertie. I respect you for it. You have a splendid, chivalrous soul. You remind me of Serrano.
Who?
Serrano de Bergerac.
The chap with the nose?
Yes.
Well, I don't know, you know. I mean, a bit on the prominent side, perhaps, but not as bad as...
He loved, but pleaded another's cause.
Who?
It was fine of you, Bertie. Fine and big, but it is no use. There are things which kill love. I can never forget Augustus, but my love for him is dead. I will be your wife.
Jeeves, I'm engaged.
I hope you'll be very happy, sir.
Oh, don't be an ass. I'm engaged to Miss Bassett.
Indeed, sir.
So, I'm up against it a bit, Jeeves.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir. Can I be of any assistance?
Quite possibly, Jeeves, quite possibly. But, Jeeves, on one condition.
Sir?
In the past, Jeeves, you have more than once taken advantage of my gratitude to get me to get rid of things. Those purple socks, for instance. Also the plus fours and the old Etonian spats. There must be no rot of that description about that white mess jacket, Jeeves.
Very good, sir.
You will not come to me when all this is over and ask me to jettison the jacket?
Certainly not, sir.
On that understanding, Jeeves, carry on.
It has occurred to me, sir, that a reconciliation may be effected by appealing to that instinct which prompts gentlemen in time of peril to hasten to the rescue.
Jeeves, not the old he saved her from drowning gag. Shove Angela and the Bassett into the lake, you mean, and push Tuppy and Gussie in to haul them out?
No, sir, not that. But the thought did cross my mind that a sudden alarm of fire in the night...
Somebody ringing the fire bell, you mean?
Precisely, sir. As I see it, sir, the occupants of the house hearing the fire bell ring... We'll suppose that a conflagration has broken out.
Yes, that seems reasonable.
Whereupon Mr. Glossop will hasten to save Miss Angela while Mr. Finkernuttle performs the same office for Miss Bassett.
Why shouldn't she simply walk downstairs?
You are overlooking the effect of sudden alarm on the feminine temperament, sir. Miss Bassett's impulse, I would imagine, would be to leap from her window.
Well, that's worse. We don't want the garden littered with corpses.
No, sir. You will recall that Mr. Travers' fear of burglars has caused him to have stout bars fixed to all the windows.
Of course, yes. Well, yeah, it sounds all right. I'll adopt this policy of yours, Jeeves, though with misgivings. Now, at what hour would you suggest bonging the bell?
Not before midnight, sir.
That is to say, sometime after midnight?
Yes, sir.
Right-ho, then. At 12:30 on the dot, I will bong. Well, Jeeves?
Sir?
It's no good saying, sir, Jeeves. Look around you. Your scheme has proved a bust. There is no sign of any rescue work going on. No bending over females, fanning them with towels. No fraternizing. Just a lot of people shivering in dressing gowns. I warned you from the start, Jeeves.
If you'll pardon me for interrupting you, sir, I fancy Mrs. Travers is endeavouring to attract your attention.
Hoy! Just step this way a moment and tell her, if you don't mind.
Yes, Aunt Delia.
Well, Bertie, dear, here we all are.
Quite.
Nobody missing, is there?
I don't think so, no.
Splendid. So much healthier for us out in the open air like this than frosting in bed. I just dropped off when you did your bell-ringing act, for it was you, my sweet child, who rang that bell, was it not?
I did ring the bell, yes.
Mm. Any particular reason, or just a whim?
Well, I thought there was a fire.
Oh. Well, what gave you that impression, dear?
I thought I saw flames.
Where, darling? Tell Auntie Dahlia.
In one of the windows.
Ah, I see. So we've all been dragged out of bed and scared rigid because you've been seeing things.
I admit I was mistaken. I am very sorry.
Oh, don't apologize, Ducky. Can't you see how pleased we all are? Well, come on, Tom. Entertainment seems to be over. Yes, Mr. Finknottle.
I say.
Oh, say on, Augustus.
I say, what are we going
to
do?
Well, speaking for myself, I intend to return to bed.
But the door's shut. Somebody must have shut it. Can we get in through the window?
Could Lloyd George do it? Could Winston do it? Could Baldwin do it? Well, not since those bars went on.
We'll have to ring the bell, then.
Well, to what end? There's nobody in the house. Servants are all at Kingham.
Oh, can't somebody drive over and get the key?
Ah, that's the first sensible thing.
There's Waterbury's at the dance, too, and he's got the garage key.
But we can't stop out here all night.
Can't we? Oh, well, just watch us. There is nothing, literally nothing, which a country house party can't do with a tiller here operating on the premises. If those blasted servants come back before 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, well, I shall be vastly surprised. You won't get Seppings away from a dance till you throw him out. I know him. The jazz will go to his head, and he'll stand clapping and demanding encores till his hands blister. Damn all dancing butlers. Damn all dancing chauffeurs. What is this? An English country house or a Russian ballet school?
If I might make a suggestion, madam.
Jeeves, you haven't got an idea.
Yes, madam. If one of the gentlemen would be willing to ride a bicycle...
A bicycle?
There is a bicycle in the gardener's shed, madam. Possibly one of the gentlemen might feel disposed to ride the 9 miles to Kingham Manor and procure the key from Mr. Seppin.
Splendid, Jeeves.
Thank you, madam.
Attila!
Jolly well deserves it.
I mean, getting us all out here in the cold.
Yes, it is cold, isn't it?
Oh, mind you, he should be used to that after Oxford.
How do you mean, Mr. Glossop?
He used to take all his clothes off on bump supper nights and ride round the quad singing comic songs.
How disgusting.
Yes, it was rather.
About that scripture knowledge prize.
Yes, Mr. Finknottle.
It was simply an open secret that he succeeded in scrounging that trophy over the heads of better men by means of the rawest and most brazen swindle.
Of course, Monsieur Anatole, I blame myself. I remember once when Bertie was in his cradle, he nearly swallowed his rubber comforter and started turning purple. And I, ass that I was, took it out and saved his life.
Gildomar.
I can tell you one thing, Monsieur Anatole. It will go very hard with Bertram Wooster if he swallows a rubber comforter again.
Did I ever tell you, Angela, about the time when Bertie...
And of course, Miss Bassett, there was the occasion at school when Bertie...
Of course, Monsieur Anatole. When it comes to making a complete ass of himself, Bertie...
Angela, about that shark of yours...
One thing to be said for Bertie, that at least he does have the sense to appreciate your cooking, Monsieur Anatole.
Miss Bassett, has it ever occurred to you that the stars are God's daisy chain?
Oh, Augustus.
Mr. Wooster.
Oh, less of the Mr. Wooster and more door keys. Give me the keys, Evans.
Keys, huh?
The Brinkley Court door key.
But is it the court, sir? I left it with Mr. Jeeves.
You what?
Bertie?
Oh, Jeeves. Before our paths part forever, allow me to inform you that of all the loathsome ordeals you have ever let me in for...
It is I, Bertie.
Is the most. So it is. Yes. Whatever Jeeves' fault, he doesn't go round in skirts calling me Bertie. Yes, so it is. Sorry. Bit distraught. I see the front door's open.
Oh, yes. Just after you left, Jeeves found the back door key on the kitchen windowsill.
Ah.
What?
Nothing.
I thought you said something.
No, nothing.
Bertie.
Hello.
Bertie... I am going to try you to the utmost. I am going to test you as few men have ever been tested. I am going to ask you...
Yeah, well, look, always glad to oblige, you know, but I've just had the dickens of a bicycle ride, and I'm a bit stiff and sore, especially in... As I say, I'm a bit stiff and sore, and if it's anything to be fetched from upstairs...
Oh, no, you don't understand. Oh, it's so difficult. How can I say it? Can't you guess?
No, I'm dashed if I can.
Bertie, let me go.
I haven't got hold of you.
Release me.
You mean you want me to call it off? You're going to hitch up with Gussie?
Only if you are big and fine enough to consent.
Oh, I am. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you'll run off to Gussie and tell him all is well.
Oh, Bertie. A very parfait, gentil night.
Hello, Bertie. Oh, you look like the wreck of the Hesperus.
Tappy, old man. The Bassett's gonna marry Gussie Finknock.
Tough luck on both of them, what?
No. But don't you see? Huh? This means Angela is out of pawn, and you've...
Oh, good Lord. You're right behind the times. Ange and I made it up hours ago.
No, sir.
Hello.
Hurry up with that champagne.
Coming. Your aunt's a bit above herself. I don't know all the facts, but apparently Anatole is staying on, and your uncle has given her some check. She's much braced.
My plan was based on psychology, sir. In my own family, if I may give a homely illustration, it was a generally accepted axiom that in times of domestic disagreement, it was necessary only to invite my Aunt Annie for a visit. Now, in the mutual animosity excited by Aunt Annie, those who had become estranged were reconciled almost immediately. Remembering this, it occurred to me that were you, sir, to be established as the person responsible for the ladies and gentlemen being forced to spend the night in the garden, everybody would take so strong a dislike to you that in this common sympathy they would sooner or later come together. And such proved to be the case, sir.
Oh, I see. And now I suppose Aunt Delia's so sore with me it'll be years before I'm invited down.
No, sir. It was to prevent any such contingency that I suggested you should cycle to Kingham Manor. When it was borne upon the ladies and gentlemen that you were having that long ride for nothing, the animosity vanished immediately, to be followed by cordial amusement. There was much laughter, sir.
Yes, I heard it.
Yes, sir.
So, all's well that ends well.
Very apt, sir.
All the same, your methods are a bit rough, Jeeves.
One cannot make an omelette without breaking eggs, sir.
Omelette? Do you think you could get me one?
Certainly, sir.
Together with half a bot or something?
I shall attend to the matter immediately, sir.
Sir. Something on your mind, Jeeves?
Yes, sir. I fear I have been remiss in the matter of your mess jacket, sir.
Why?
I'm sorry to say this, sir, that while I was ironing it this afternoon, I was careless enough to leave the hot instrument upon it. I very much fear that it will be impossible for you to wear it again, sir. I am extremely sorry, sir.
Right-ho, Jeeves.
Very good, sir.
Bertie Wooster was played by Simon Cadell, Jeeves, David Suchet, Gussie Finknottle, Trevor Nichols, Aunt Delia, Anne Jameson, Tuppy, Sean Arnold, Madeline Bassett, Jenny Funnell, Angela Travers, Yvonne Antrobus, Seppings, Tim Reynolds, Headmaster, Peter Howell. Right-ho, Jeeves, from the novel by P.G. Wodehouse, was adapted by Pat Hooker and directed by Peter King.